From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made when a local woman was considering what she might give up for Lent, and she'd been reading a book called How to Be Alive. While she found the book imperfect, she was moved by one idea in particular. The book encourages readers not to suppress their moral response to issues just because something might seem insurmountable. For example, one person cannot clear up all the plastic in the ocean. But the book might urge us to consider what we can do, even if a challenge seems too tall to accomplish individually. And the woman we're talking about is Marielle Jensen Battaglia. She had seen the Blue Planet documentary series with David Attenborough. She'd thought about her own consumption habits, and she'd already tried to cut back on plastic use. That means avoiding plastic water bottles and shopping bags. But it turns out that if you want to give up single-use plastic for Lent, it is way more involved than you might think. Marielle's been making a list of the hidden plastic she'd never thought about before Lent, and this hour we have convinced her to come in, reveal that dozens-long list to us, and talk about what it means to try to cut out something like single-use plastic. But this hour we're going to go beyond that narrow lens as well. We'll talk about consumption habits, we'll talk about reuse, how we can change what we send to the landfills on a personal level, an organizational level. A lot to talk about here, so let's welcome our guest for the hour. Marielle Jensen Battaglia is here. Thanks for saying yes. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
Also with us is Rachel Gutnick, who's the owner of Just Terrific. Welcome back. Which is what, by the way? Tell us what that is.
I own a book restoration company, and I also create hand-bound books made of reclaimed materials.
That's great to have you back here. Thanks for being here. And Kimberly Connolly is the executive director of Rochester Greenovation. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
How long has Rochester Greenovation been there?
We are celebrating our 7th birthday on April 20th, which we're going to call our Earth Day birthday event.
Awesome. Well, we'll talk a lot more about what Rochester Greenovation is and does. I know that Marielle was a little skeptical at first. You thought, what am I going to talk about? I thought we could probably talk about this all day. Single-use plastics, giving it up for Lent. Take me back a little bit more through the story, because I know every year you give up something for Lent, but this is different. I've never heard of someone giving up single-use plastic.
Yeah, so as many people are aware, Lent is a Christian tradition of penitence and often includes fasting that leads up to Easter. So 40 to 46 days, depending on how you count them. In the past, people would give up meat, maybe they would give up chocolate or something of that nature. But really the focus for me is to give up something that is an actual challenge to give up, not something that's easy, and that leads me to focus on something that I would like to improve either about myself or the world around me in a moral fashion. So what you summarized was perfect, Evan. When I had already cut out a lot of things from my waste stream by composting or recycling, every month I would throw out my trash and I would look in the bag and it would pretty much be plastic. And most of that plastic is single use. So for people who don't know what single use plastic is, it's what the name sounds like. It's plastic that you take home from the store or from wherever you get the item from, and you use it one time before discarding it either into the trash or into the recycling. And so my goal was to see how much I could stop putting my trash, my plastic into the trash. So I tried to eliminate that entirely and then reduce those single-use plastics that are recyclable, because those do exist in great numbers.
All right. And, you know, early on, people are going to be thinking plastic water bottles, which we gave up. It's amazing how many guests come in and say, oh, it's so nice that you don't have the plastic water bottles anymore. And we talk about living your values. But that's the low-hanging fruit here. Your list, even that you sent to me, there's probably 2 dozen things here. But how many items are on your list now?
It's getting up towards 50 items. Mm-hmm. And that's not an exhaustive list of all single-use plastics. That's as I went through my life, which things I would come upon and say, oh, that is also single-use plastic that I'm going to throw away. And I would just kind of put it onto a list and then try to find a solution for each one of them.
So I'm going to read some of the items. You've got more that you can share with us, though. I'm just going to read what you sent me. Pill bottles, razor blade cartridges, toothpaste caps and containers, Ziploc bags, plastic wrap, granola bar wrappers, chip bags, single-serve creamer, condiment packages, a deodorant stick, spatulas, kitchen implements, eyeliner and makeup tubes, athletic shoes, loose leaf tea, stand-up packaging, styrofoam takeout boxes, and plastic utensils. Anything, plastic utensils, obvious, but anything on that list so far surprise you when you actually start kind of trying to understand what's exactly in these kind of products?
Yes. Yeah, so one example would be the stand-up tea packaging. Okay, so I drink a lot of tea, and a lot of times it'll come, or many products will come in this package that kind of has this craft paper appearance on the outside. It looks like a cardboard almost, but it's a pouch. It stands up. It often has a Ziploc top to it. And unfortunately, those pouches are what's called mixed media. They've got paper on the outside and plastic on the inside. So by trying to do something that I thought was sustainable, buying loose leaf tea instead of tea bags, right, less product and more less packaging, mm-hmm. it actually is a product that can neither be recycled nor really reused. So that was one challenge that I came upon. And thankfully, it did have a solution, but I had to get creative. So I was able to find a local tea shop that will sell me tea in bulk in my own tin. Even if you get tea in bulk at like a chain supermarket like Wegmans, it still will come, will encourage you to use one of those mixed media bags that you can't ever do anything else with. So that's one example of something hidden. And I don't mind giving Happy Earth Tea or Leaf Tea Bar on South Ave a plug. They were really nice about letting me fill my own tin. But another thing that was surprising to me was the razor cartridges. You know, those items are, I thought, more sustainable because I keep my handle from month to month and then I just change out the head. But that razor head can never do anything else except for going into a landfill because it has both plastic and metal in the same piece. A sustainable solution there that I was able to try that my spouse already used was a safety razor, which is fully metal and has a metal blade.
Okay, so you're literally looking at individual items saying, if I'm going to swap this out, how do I replace this in some way?
Yes, in some cases, that's not an option. So right. A great example is going to a potluck at work or church, and they have styrofoam plates. Well, unless I packed my own plate, which there's definitely a benefit to doing that, but sometimes you're just not prepared at the moment. I just had to say no to a plate and eat things on a napkin so that I could avoid that piece of styrofoam that's not recyclable.
Any other solutions that you've created so far that stand out that you are mildly impressed with yourself or proud of yourself for?
I actually brought my lunch as an object lesson, so I won't go on too long about this. I know it's not television, but...
No, this is perfect. You can describe this. This is good.
Sure. So on the table in front of me, I have what I usually eat for lunch. It consists of my leftovers from dinner last night, some yogurt, granola, a kind of energy bar, and an apple. So places that I had to cut out plastic were in my actual tin that I'm taking, or my container that I'm taking my lunch in. That's glass, and it has a reusable plastic lid. It's oven, microwave, freezer safe, and it is at least 6 years old. So I've had this item for a long time, whereas when I used to use the plastic reusable tubs, they would last maybe a year before they began to get warped and stained, and then I would have to throw them out. I also have metal silverware. I used to save plastic silverware from takeout and take it to work because I had this fear that I would lose my silverware somehow, but it never happened, and I kept bringing them back home. So I just switched to taking my silverware from home. I have an apple, which can have a produce sticker on it that can be vinyl if you get them from the grocery store. This apple came from the public market, so it doesn't have a produce sticker on it.
Oh my gosh, you had to think about the little sticker on an apple.
Yeah. So some of those stickers, to be clear, are paper, not plastic, but it's very hard to tell. And then I just, instead of a single-serve yogurt container, I put some yogurt from a bigger container into a glass mason jar, and the yogurt container itself is recyclable. Although, as we'll talk about later in the hour, that's not a perfect solution. The most interesting thing I have in front of me is a product called Bees Wrap. My energy bar is not wrapped in a Ziploc bag or a piece of plastic wrap. It's wrapped in some cloth that's been impregnated with beeswax so that it's flexible. It creates a seal against liquid and air, and it's almost as good as plastic wrap in a lot of instances. They do have a vegan option. I know some callers may be thinking about that. So okay. That's just for lunch.
And obviously for one lunch, you know, early in Lent, you've got, or as you're going into Lent, you got to think, okay, what are each of the items? Where do I find the plastic? Sometimes, how do you know that there's plastic? We kind of talk about hidden plastic.
That's a great point. So I never really thought about before that granola bar wrappers were plastic.
Yeah.
They look kind of shiny in foil, but they're not recyclable. And so I would just eat them thinking I'm recycling the box. That's good enough. But that wrapper is never going to go anywhere except into a landfill. So that's an example of hidden plastic, or like the produce sticker that I mentioned.
And did you look that up? I mean, are you literally kind of Googling every item that kind of comes across your path in a
day? Yes. So that is one thing that I would really encourage people, especially people that have been sort of in the environmental movement or been ecologically aware for many years, that there are so many more resources on the internet than there used to be. And so if you're wondering what something is made of, you can probably find it online. I've reached out to manufacturers such as Utz that makes chips, UTZ. I've reached out to Wegmans, etc., to figure out what is this product actually made of. Does it include plastic?
Okay. And so the long list of nearly 50 items here, how many would you say, just kind of guesstimating, you've been able to replace in a different way, and how many of you have you had to say, look, there's no replacement for this, I can't use this right now, and maybe you'll stop using it entirely?
So you ask a really pointed question, and I'm glad that we have another guest on that can talk about this more. I think that the biggest challenge for me is finding that many plastic items can be recycled, but they can't necessarily be recycled easily, and the recycling system is complex, so that everything you put into recycling may not actually go in. So for example, I found that the little plastic tags that come on bags of bread, there is a charity that collects those, and it's a small charity created by actually a youth. It's called Danielle Cares for Chairs. And those tags you can save up and send in to keep them out of the waste stream. And they'll get donated to a wonderful cause of getting wheelchairs for people. But that's not as good as not getting the tag in the first place. I guess that's what I found. I found a lot of things are not that easy to recycle, even though maybe you can, and it's better to eliminate if possible.
Kimberly Connolly, were you saying that just this week you were kind of talking about the state of recycling? Because there's been a lot of news from China. Not long ago on this program, we had a conversation about just what happens with plastic bags from grocery stores that a lot of people sort of wish cycle. They throw it into their box and ends up going to a plant and sort of slowing down the system and gumming up the works because it can't be recycled. You were talking to people about, what, the state of recycling this week?
Yeah, I've talked with Waste Management multiple times, and they have informed me that they have scaled back drastically on the plastics they accept. So it's pretty much like bottles and tubs. If you get things that have molded shapes into them, like a muffin container, cookie containers, they sometimes don't take them. They'll take them in the recycling container, but they get thrown into the garbage and they just get added to the landfill. So you might think you're doing something beneficial, but it's not helping.
That brings to mind for me, one of the volunteers at WXXI, and we've got great volunteers who help us with connections, was remarking that in my office, on my desk, there's a bunch of coffee cups, you know, those kind of single-use coffee cups. And it's like, well, why do you have a bunch of coffee cups? And I said, well, they don't have recycling over there. So I just bring it back to the office, and I'm going to make sure they get recycled. But it was producer Megan Mack who reminded me that, what, the lid can be recycled, yes, but the base of the cup, some of the cups have wax on them, which create an issue there. But I probably have been throwing that kind of stuff into the bin forever. There's probably a shocking amount of things that you throw in there thinking that it's going to be magically, happily recycled.
Yep.
That's pretty depressing.
Yeah, it can be. You just have to take one step at a time. Just like, you know, we're all trying to make little tiny improvements. And if you try to look at the big picture, you can get overwhelmed. So just making little adjustments, like Marielle is wonderful.
Well, you know, Rachel and Kimberly are going to have some thoughts on reuse and how we sort of think about items in our sphere, in our world, coming up here. I want to kind of put a bow on what Marielle's been doing, because to make a very important point, you're not saying all plastic is evil, right?
No. In fact, I'm a physical therapist by trade, and I work in the healthcare sector. And if we didn't have plastic in healthcare, we wouldn't have so many life-saving products. People with disabilities often depend on items like single-use plastic straws to be more independent when they go out to places. So it's not good enough just to say that we should eliminate everything, total ban. It has to be that we promote innovation to replace those products with things that are sustainable and do not go into the landfill or, heaven forbid, the environment and end up in a whale's belly somewhere. So there are items that are good that we have them in plastic, but we need to be cautious about what type of plastic and really demand innovation for sustainability.
Do you find that just talking about what you're doing for Lent might move people, the conversations you've had?
Yes, I was mentioning before we went on the air that I work with people and I know people personally who have very disparate political views, for example, or very different life views. And yet when you bring up the topic of plastic, people often agree. They really don't like to see those documentaries and those news stories about the Pacific garbage patch and these terrible things that maybe we're not in the United States the prime contributor to direct pollution into the oceans, but we're this huge secondary contributor by selling our trash overseas and by producing more trash than any other nation per capita. We're up to, I think, 5 pounds per person. So people really do want to get behind it. It just feels overwhelming. And they feel like they don't know where to start and that if they don't do it 100%, it's not worth doing at all.
So there's no political party that endorses plastic islands in the ocean. That's good to know. That's a good start. bipartisan issue, nonpartisan issue. But when it comes to policy, I just want to kind of press a little bit on this idea that we mentioned from the book that you're reading, this notion of, well, don't just sort of give up any sort of moral responsibility or just because something seems insurmountable. Some of these things, I mean, what you are doing individually is tremendously admirable, but I don't know without policy change we can necessarily get there societally.
Right. In fact, you could take the example that I just gave of working for a healthcare system, right? So as a healthcare worker, I don't have a choice of which gloves I use necessarily at work. They're provided by my company. And I may not be able to make a systems change like demanding that we purchase recyclable or biodegradable gloves. But it is something that we should be demanding as a society. And I hope that it could have maybe more of a grassroots effect. Maybe that's utopian to think of, but other societal issues that we've said we could never change. And yet when the public opinion changes, there's sort of a tipping point and things do start to happen at the political level.
Will you, after Lent, change certain habits you had? Are there certain products you will not go back to at all or certain habits that are going to become permanent for you?
Oh, definitely. In fact, I've been pleasantly surprised by how much you can live without, and even more so, that feeling of sort of hopelessness and helplessness that the problem was too big and I just had to see those news headlines and feel bad about them. I'm left with this sense of empowerment that actually I am doing something, even if it's small, and I thought it would just be me, but now I'm on a radio program that thousands of people are hearing. So it doesn't have to be. Sometimes making that change it feels like an individual decision, but it can affect a lot more people.
I think, first of all, it really is inspiring. And I'm really thrilled that you said yes to come on here because listeners, I'm not going to be able to read them all. But one of the things we did, we jumped on social media, which can be good because that's how we met Mario. And we just asked, you know, how have you changed both your consumption habits, what you waste, what you reuse? Really inspiring answers from a lot of people. And one of your friends mentioned you. That's how, who's your friend who
So Scott Austin was the connection.
Yes, and Scott Austin, the guy who's helping find violin lessons for my son Scott, is like the connector in town. So shout out to your friend Scott. Thank you for that. But there's a lot of inspiring things happening, and I'm really glad that you're talking about it because to me what this says is when I look at your lunch, it doesn't look extreme. It might be a little bit more cumbersome to put together, but my guess is you get into a rhythm and it becomes routine pretty quickly.
Yes, absolutely. And some things that used to be sort of annoying and I wouldn't know what to do because I'm thinking about it intentionally, I'm planning ahead and it's working out really well. So one thing I do want to just mention briefly before we move on is that there's a slight element of privilege to what I'm doing. Okay, I have the time to educate myself on this topic. I have the money to buy containers and things that are more expensive. And some people that I know, for example, shift workers, things like that, who weren't even planning to be there an extra shift, and suddenly now they have to find food for themselves at an odd time of night. They don't have the luxury of doing what I'm doing. So I don't pretend that it's totally easy, but it's definitely gets easier the more that you do it. And I think people who have the social and financial latitude to make the right decision should try to do it so that it lessens the impact for everybody.
Let me read an email, and I'm going to ask you one question that you may regret, but I'm only going to ask you because you put this item on the list, and I want to know if you have a solution for this. Is there a deodorant solution?
I think there is. So I've gotten feedback from a couple of people, and I see Rachel shaking her head, so she may have an idea as well. But for me, there are three choices. So one is that there's a company called TerraCycle that many listeners will have heard of that accepts non-recyclable products by mail order to try to recycle them. Tom's of Maine and some other large companies take part in this program. So you could mail back your empty deodorant sticks and they could get cleaned and recycled at the facility. But another choice is to choose something that's not a stick. So I use a cream style deodorant that is in a glass jar. It's called Piper Y and it's charcoal based. So I do sweat. I don't believe that like women don't sweat. So I sweat quite a bit and it doesn't smell. It doesn't get on my clothes. And then when I'm done, the glass jar is recyclable. I've reached out to Piper Y because they don't have a recycling number on their plastic lid, but it feels like it should be recyclable. Again, that's a fraught situation because of what we've been talking about with recyclability in the U.S. Another third choice, probably the best choice, would be homemade or compostable deodorant. And Rachel, do you have an input on that?
Well, I use natural deodorant also, and the packaging, all body care products especially, come in plastic packaging. And if that plastic packaging is not rinsed, it cannot be broken down. So there's a company out in Naples that creates handmade body care products, and they sell it package free, so you can actually just buy it wrapped in a piece of newspaper.
What are they called?
On hand lotions. It's all natural. She lives on her own sanctuary, basically. She plants her own herbs and creates her own body care products, and for local pickup especially, she offers package free items.
And how do you, so does she deliver, you go down and get them?
Yep. Yeah, I meet her.
Okay, so a lot of good ideas here. Tim in Pittsford though says, I have a safety razor. Good luck shaving your face with this. I look like I tried to murder myself when I was done shaving with this. It was brutal. So I guess I take the blame for hating the environment by using my Dollar Shave Club blades.
Oh, no, no. My husband has very sensitive skin, and he uses a safety razor. And the key is figuring out the medium that goes between your face and the razor. So there's like 1,000 different types of lather soap you could try. You could try a shaving balm instead. If you just try to use the same aerosol or spray can shaving lotion that you used to use, it may not work that well. But this is what people had up until 20, 30 years ago. Everyone shaved with a safety razor. I may be getting corrected by a caller on that, but this is my understanding. Okay, we didn't have these plastic disposable razors forever and ever, but people did shave their face.
Okay, it seems like when I think about the just sort of personal care aisles at the grocery store, there's very little that wouldn't basically be outlawed in your Lenten ritual here.
Yes, if I can talk about a topic that is maybe slightly taboo, but sanitary products. Mm-hmm. So sanitary products for women are all mixed media, and of course they have body fluids on them, so you cannot dispose of them in any type of recycling fashion. So that's something that a lot of people need monthly for many years of their life, and there are a lot of solutions out there, but almost none of them are sold in the grocery store. So you will have to go looking for them. I use a cloth pad that can be washed by hand and saved and used again. It's called Party in My Pants, and they do, isn't that amazing? They do have free samples on their website. If you're a new customer, you can get a liner pad for free. So that's an example of one thing that is very ubiquitous and feels like you can't change, but you can.
So there's an idea. There's ideas, as again, we talked about the Naples company, safety razors. There's so many different things, and that's going to be work if you want to change sort of your personal care habits. It's a lot of work, but here we are, and Marielle is saying that, you know, sounds like you're kind of in a rhythm, that, you know, you made some changes in your life.
Yes, I hope to continue a lot of these into the future. I would say that one of the most frustrating things about it, and that I wish we had a little bit better education, maybe we can talk about that from the Greenovation perspective, is the flexible, recyclable film plastics. So when you go through the grocery store, it's very, very difficult to avoid plastic packaging, but some of it can be recycled along with your clean and dry grocery bags. So a lot of things that people might not be aware of would be like a cereal carton liner. That bag, if it's clean and dry, can go in with the Wegmans bags or whatever grocery chain you use that go into the recycling bins at the store, not the curbside recycling bins. But there are other things like pasta packaging or just anything that comes in flexible plastic that's not labeled. You're not sure. Can it go in? Can it not go in? So that's what I've been contacting companies about and trying to figure out for myself. And I've gotten, I would say, about 50-50. Things that I thought would be recyclable, sometimes they'll say no and sometimes they'll say yes. So I wish that was a little bit better.
Yeah, no doubt. I think a little bit better labeling and packaging. I actually have some emails from listeners basically making that same point, that it should be much more universally understood what we're looking at where it can go and where it cannot go. Marielle Jensen Battaglia is a woman who decided to give up single-use plastic for Lent, and it's been, resulted in, I think, these remarkable changes that feel much more applicable to all of us than probably we thought. And after our only break of the hour, we're going to talk to Kimberly Connolly, Executive Director of Rochester Greenovation, and Rachel Goodnick, owner of Just Terrific. We're going to talk about their approaches on the subject of reuse and how we kind of get our heads around as a society what we use, what we get rid of, and what happens next to it. So let's get that break and come right back on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, a debate about screen time with kids, but maybe not the typical debate that you're used to. Just about everyone agrees that we need to limit screen time when it comes to video games, television watching, using the phone for texting and social media. But what about in school? What about screen time during instruction, during math, during reading at school? Does that count? We debate it next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Let me grab Megan in Fairport on the phone first. Go ahead, Megan.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call and for having this conversation.
Sure.
I'm the assistant at On Hand Lotion, so I really appreciate the shout out. I wanted to make a comment about all of our products and specifically our deodorant. Environmental sustainability is extremely important to us, and we're always looking to minimize our packaging, and it's all recyclable or, as your guest said, packaged bare. Our deodorant, we've just recently switched to a compostable cardboard tube. So everything, including the outer plastic wrap, which is actually a plant-based film, it's all completely compostable, and it's made by hand right in Naples. So when you buy our products, you're supporting our local economy and a small woman-owned business.
And Megan, let me just ask you, because I think, number one, a lot of our listeners are wondering this, and number two, to Marielle's point, I mean, there is an element of privilege here. What are we paying in terms of deodorant versus what we're used to paying at a grocery store for something that comes in plastic?
It is going to be more expensive.
Sure.
Part of that is because we are just a two-woman team, and we do make everything by hand from scratch, using locally sourced and organic ingredients whenever possible. There is an element of privilege for sure, but if you can, it's a great way to vote with your wallet.
So where to find you, Megan?
You can order online at onhandlotions.com. You can also find our deodorant specifically and our solid lotion bars, which are packaged in a metal reusable or recyclable tin at the public market from Impact Earth. And you can also find a full list of retailers on our website. And we do a lot of local shows, too. Cornhill, Lilac Festival, things of that nature.
Well, I'm glad your ears were burning. Thanks for taking the time, Megan. And you want to add something there, Marielle?
I just want to ask a question, Megan, because I don't know who else to ask this of. When you made that switch and you decided to use like a plant-based plastic, how hard was it to find a manufacturer to get that from?
That I actually don't know. I am the assistant, so I'm more on the making, labeling, selling side of things and not the decision maker for those kinds of decisions, but I wish I could give you a good answer.
No, that's okay. But hey, Megan, though, just email me separately, and maybe we'll bring a separate conversation on the approach here, because I think the next question for our society is scalability, and we'll have a lot to ask you about there. So I'm really glad you called. Kick me an email at edawson@wxxi.org, and we'll take it from there.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right, Megan, thank you very much for calling. It's been a great feedback already. And I want to ask Kimberly Connolly to tell us a little bit about the history of Rochester Greenovation, because this is a building, I think I've talked to several people who went, oh, I know what used to be there, but you guys have been there like, what, 7 years, you said now?
Yeah.
Where are you?
We are located at 1199 East Main Street in Rochester, near the public market. So we're very convenient to get to. And it's had a long history. It was a building called Atlantic Mills. It was a thrift village. Then what most people know it as was the Vietnam Veterans Thrift Store for about 20 years. They closed down and we opened up probably like 6 months later. So we've been open since April of 2012. And we started off with doing some deconstruction of houses and having a tool library and a store with vendors and artists. And then a couple of those things got a little too hard to keep going. So we ended up sticking with the store, offering classes, sending donations that we get to other not-for-profits that can use them better and therefore be able to use their monetary donations more effectively. And we also have what we call our mommy baby room, where we give to mothers in need. We have a free room for anybody who comes in who just wants items that we think still have a purpose, but they might not be worth anything monetarily, but we don't want them to go into the landfill. So that's what we mostly do.
Okay. And are you all volunteer run?
We are completely volunteer run. Yeah, we have been for almost the whole 7 years. They started off getting paid and then realized we couldn't sustain that.
All right. And here's why I asked, because on your Facebook page, people will say, I love what you do. I need to know when you're open. How do they know?
So we only have a Facebook page. We are open Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Fridays 11 to 7, and Saturdays 10 to 5.
Okay. And you send how much actual garbage away in an average week?
So our building is 22,000 square feet, and we get a lot of donations. We repair a lot of different pieces of furniture and items that come in that might need just a little bit of love. And through all of that, including all of our different volunteer groups that come in with all their lunches and things that get thrown away, we only generate 2 large garbage bags of trash a week.
22,000 square feet.
Yeah.
2 bags of trash a week.
Yep. And our volunteers take them home for us because we don't have a dumpster. It's against our policy. We never have. So we don't throw anything away because we find everything can be usable unless it's actual garbage.
Where's the main source of where this stuff comes from that ends up with you?
The public. Most people just donate it. We also have a couple of vendors and artists that rent booths, and they have their own objects that they bring in. But for the most part, we are the place that takes stuff. We get referrals from like Rehouse and Restore for objects that aren't up to their quality of standard, and we'll take them. And it's great for people who can't afford Home Depot prices, but they need like a new door or a new window or a couch in their first apartment. And so we do have items that can be hundreds of dollars, but we have quite a few that are $50 and under, whether it's furniture, doors, windows, sinks, cabinets, dishes, whatever.
Do you find just being there is a reminder that, you know, we're a society that disposes and wastes a lot, and that a lot of people might look at a certain kind of an item, if it's not up to a certain, as you say, kind of standard of quality, and think, well, that's trash. But in so many ways, it can be reused.
Yes, definitely. So we have a workroom that we have a couple of people that fix items and try to upcycle, recreate. We have artists that come in. We have a mosaic bin where anytime someone breaks a ceramic dish or something like that in the store, it just gets put into the bin, and then artists can come in and fill up a bag for $2.
That is a cool idea.
Because it still has a purpose. It's not garbage. The only things that are garbage are like broken clear glass or food, things like that. We don't accept food.
But food really is not garbage. It's food is for composting.
Right.
Most food anyway. I think it is such a reminder to how much we do send out. If we look at bags of trash, if your 22,000 square feet can produce 2 bags of trash a week, it's a good challenge for all of us. How often do you have people who come in and say, I can't believe that you have this here, or, you know, some small item that they end up needing in their life or wanting that might have otherwise ended up in a landfill?
Oh, yeah. We definitely get people who find like diamonds in the rough in our store, or they come to us because they're like, if any place is going to have it, you're going to have it. Like, we sold reel-to-reel. I don't know how many people remember those, but...
Do you remember those?
No. My mom does, but
yes, exactly.
She was the one that helped me figure out what it was, because she volunteers there with me, because she loves me.
That's awesome.
But we got in a reel-to-reel, and a guy who's really techie, he's this awesome guy, he comes in, and he was like, oh, I think I can fix that and make it working, and just like... He was so happy to have access to something like that. And I don't know any other store that would have accepted it. A lot of places, a lot of quote-unquote thrift stores will take in items and then they go right into their dumpster, even if they're usable. Or if they have a certain color code, they eventually get thrown into the garbage. And we have items that have been there for 6 years, which I'm not super happy about, but they're 6 years that they haven't been in the landfill, that they're waiting for somebody.
This reminds me of conversations that, for example, apple growers will say, it's amazing how many people are conditioned to thinking that everything is supposed to look glamorous and pristine. That, oh, well, this piece of fruit has a little bruise on it, throw it away. when there's literally people starving and there's so much that you can do, either composting or otherwise. You want to jump in on that, Marielle?
I just will say this hour won't be complete without a shout out to community composting in Rochester. I'm sure there's a lot of people in Rochester that make use of that service, and I know I'm sure the owners or the organizers would not mind me saying that they hope in the future that this would become a city service or a municipal service, because that also draws in that topic of privilege. It's not terribly expensive. I think it's $16 for an every other week pickup per month right now, but it's not something that's available universally to everybody.
They were on the show 1 week ago today.
Oh, there we go.
So, yeah. And so you can learn a lot more about that just from a week ago, and sort of a similar and kind of parallel conversation. Because every time we talk about this, we get flooded with feedback. People want to learn. They want to know more about this. And, you know, the notion that a bruised piece of fruit is garbage, the notion that something that doesn't look as glamorous as we see in a department store can't potentially find a home. So how would you describe what the actual mission of Rochester Greenovation is?
To keep things out of the landfill.
Keep it out of the landfill.
Just that. And we do that in multiple ways, but that is the end goal, is to keep as many objects out of the landfill, keep them still serving a purpose here for people. Doesn't matter how. I mean, we get artists that want our crappiest piece of furniture because they're going to destroy it, and they don't want to destroy something new. They'd rather destroy something that's already on its way out or something like that. Or we have guys that come from their frat houses that are looking for the junky furniture because they're going to destroy it with their keg parties and whatever all year. And this way, you know, it gets one last purpose.
This is the most real talk on Connections ever at this hour. This is so good. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Being honest. Where to find you again, by the way? Where is Rochester Greenovation?
We are located at 1199 East Main Street in the city of Rochester near the Public Market.
Okay. And you have a Facebook page. You can check out more there.
Yep. It's just Greenovation on Facebook. We also have an Instagram page.
Okay. Not Greenovations. Greenovation.
Yeah. No S.
Greenovation. Before I turn to Rachel, a listener wants to know, what does Marielle use for shampoo?
This is a great question. And there are schools of thought that you don't need shampoo at all. Some people will do baking soda vinegar. I've tried that. I have to say I'm not entirely convinced. So one choice is to make sure, an easy choice, grocery store choice, make sure that the shampoo bottle that you buy actually has a recycling symbol on it, both the lid and the bottle itself. Pump style often has a metal spring in the mechanism, and so that top part is never going to have another life. But better than that, you could look for a local store that offers packaging free. So Abundance Cooperative in the South Wedge. It's possible that Lori's also has this, although I haven't been there. Lori's Natural Foods in Henrietta. They will allow you to refill a container from bulk, and that way at least it comes in a much larger bin or tub of some kind, as opposed to creating a little bottle just for you that's only going to last you a couple months.
And can I also just ask you about your approach? When you talk to friends who might be like, wow, you're doing a lot here, they're not quite doing as much as you are. Do you try to find a way to talk to them in a way that is constructive and not perhaps judgmental?
Right. So I've been a vegetarian for 17 years. And during that time, I've had lots of these same type of conversations, mm-hmm. right, with people who are meat eaters versus myself who is not. And I find that I get very little traction when I talk about, why do you eat meat? It's so bad for these six reasons, right? Then the person is sort of feels judged and offended and doesn't want to talk to you anymore. So I try to take the approach of, what's something that you use every day that is plastic that you wish you didn't have to use? And maybe you can just try to change that one thing. So if people start with that, you know, it can snowball. For me, it's been very instructive to just try a fast, and you don't have to do 40 or 46 days like I'm doing. You could try 1 week and just see where you go from there. Can I live without these items for 1 week? And every time you come up against a challenge, just try to confront it. I would say people are pretty receptive to that, as opposed to a total cold turkey, very militant viewpoint of reducing plastic. And the other tip I would give people that want to try something for the first time, if they're asking me, well, how do I even know what I need to give up, is just to do a trash check. So before you take the trash out, look at what's in the bag. If it's items that can be recycled, make that change. That's great. Even though it's imperfect, it still saves some things from the landfill. And if they can't be recycled, then ask yourself, what could I try instead?
Awesome stuff. Rachel Goodnick, the owner of Just Terrific. Reuse is a big part of life and work for you.
It is.
How did that start for you?
It started literally going through the trash bin and seeing little tiny scraps of paper that cannot be recycled because of their size. They clog up the sorting machine. So,
which will surprise some people who would think any paper.
You think paper can be recycled, but if it's under an inch, it clogs their sorting machine. So it's very difficult. Like people think that they can recycle shredded paper. Shredded paper is best for composting and nature. So it started when I was just searching through the junk bin and I saw little pieces of paper and I thought, why not make a miniature book out of this? And all of the books that I create come from reclaimed materials. So the offcuts of larger sheets of paper create miniatures. I find things like leather boots and purses and jackets and cut those up for the scraps of leather. So the creations that I make are small in size, but they, to me, have a bigger meaning because they encourage people to look at the materials a little differently, and they encourage people to write down the simple, small things in life that maybe have bigger meaning. So to tag team off of Kimberly, it's one of those things that once you have awareness of the topic, you can kind of work it into your business and into your life. The saying one man's junk is another man's treasure is something that I hold really dear to me, because if it's a couch or a window, that can be repurposed and reused. Even if it's a 1-inch square piece of paper, it can be reused and repurposed.
Yeah, I figure if you're starting with small scraps of paper and doing what you're doing, is it inevitable that you're looking all throughout life for either your own habits or what other people are doing?
Absolutely. To go off of what Marielle said, to look through your trash, I keep a small trash bin underneath my sink where I throw plastics and cans and metals and things like that. And when I take my trash out, I also go through my smaller trash can and think, what is plastic? What can be recycled? So even the smallest of actions, the smallest of influences in your life can make a really big impact. And I think this group of people is bringing awareness to how simple those small acts can be. It doesn't have to be a complete life change, but if you start to swap out things here and there, you maybe start to shop a little bit differently, you can start to see that one person can have a bigger impact. And that's how swift, big change is created, with one step at a time. I've had conversations with people, employees and management at Wegmans, asking if I could bring in glass containers for their bulk food section or to get coffee ground. And they say no. So
what's the reason?
Sanitation was their excuse.
Which I find interesting. This is Marielle talking now, that I had the same conversation. There's a concern that a foodborne illness might be contracted and then you would blame the grocer as opposed to the jar that you brought it in. But yet when we take these foods home, we're cutting them on our own cutting boards and cooking them in our own pots and pans, which also could be contaminated. So I'm not saying that I totally disagree with that, but there are other smaller retailers that will let you bring your own containers.
And I think to go along with that, it's been a while since people are starting to get into the habit of reusable coffee mugs. And that was kind of one of the first things that we really saw as like a larger change of people bringing their reusable water bottles or their coffee mugs to coffee shops, and those shops being willing to fill your own packaging. Those cups that you get, to-go cups and coffee, are not recyclable. They take hundreds of years to break down. So if we can make the change of remembering to bring a coffee cup with us to the coffee shop, I feel like it's just a matter of time and habitual changes that we can really influence a larger impact of our lifestyle. If we can remember to bring a coffee cup, we can remember to bring a shopping bag to Wegmans also.
And I'm also thinking about, you know, what may, here's a business suggestion for Wegmans, because they need to hear from me, apparently. But seriously, if you want to bring in a container for bulk food items, coffee, nuts, whatever the case may be, and they're telling you right now, well, we're concerned about sanitation, can they have just a small station where you come in and they will clean or sterilize?
California. They do that at Whole Foods, California. Things like salad bars, those clamshell packaging that you get at Wegmans to fill, or $6 meals packaging, that is terrible, terrible plastic that cannot be broken down. I would love to bring in a glass Tupperware and say, hey, I would like to buy a $6 meal, but I would like to use my own packaging. There are other states and other businesses that do this. I love Wegmans, don't get me wrong. And I like the fact that they are recycling, you know, bread bags and cereal bags. But they need to do a little bit more to reduce the amount of plastic that is leaving Wegmans. not just coming in to be recycled.
And I will hesitate, or won't hesitate, to say that I did have a positive customer service experience. The person I was talking to, this is Marielle again, they offered me a paper produce bag, like the ripening bags, and they were like, we know this came from in the store, we know this is clean, you could use this if you really want to avoid plastic. So they didn't let me leave unhappy, but it was a case of feeling like, well, this doesn't make sense. Other places haven't said the same thing, and this is where I do a lot of my shopping.
Yeah. Kimberly?
So we had a woman who was involved with Greenovation for a while. Her name is Bronwyn, and she did a zero waste class for us at the Brainery. And she had a very similar experience with Wegmans, saying that she brought in her own mason jars, and they wouldn't let her use them until she found an older cashier that remembered how to use the tare weight system, because most of the younger cashiers don't know how to do that. But like you said, Marielle, that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, things were a little bit different and people use tare weight and they know how to do. And that's what they do at Abundance. You can just weigh your mason jar ahead of time, write on it. They believe and trust in you, which is wonderful. And then when you put your product in it and you go up to the cashier, you pay for it and you get to use your own jar. And it's just such a reducing in waste and a wonderful relationship to have between the grocer and the customer.
Well, you want to add to that, Mary?
I was just going to say another very related subject that maybe someone, a listener, might comment on is when you go out to eat at a restaurant. I have had an eyebrow raise that I brought my own container to put my leftovers in. They were like, well, we don't know if you can do that because then we can't say whether you got sick from the same argument, right? But a lot of the times you can be a little covert about it and just kind of do it at the last minute and go on from there. The other thing is just choosing really thoughtfully if you're going to dine in or take out. If you have the time to dine in, that's a much more sustainable option. And a lot of times we think that we're going to take that coffee when we go, but we end up sitting and talking to someone for 10 minutes and there's like an inch in the cup when we leave. So just asking for a to-here mug as opposed to go.
Yeah, I guess this is a public call to our friends at Wegmans. And I say our friends because they are very forthright. They're a company that's very successful, and I take them at their word that they want to do right by customers in the community. So you've got three people on the program today who appreciate the fact that you got a big opportunity to make some of these changes. So Wegmans, we'll call you. We'll see what you have to say about maybe some of the bulk containers and some of these suggestions you have. And we will report back to our listeners. But I say that in good faith, not at all snarkily, not at all as an attack, because I think everyone's learning. And sometimes it's just a question of making change and scaling it up to your operation. That's one of the things.
And don't close your bulk bins. It's so good to have a chain grocery store that has bulk bins.
So let's get some more of your feedback. Bob and Menden, got to keep it tight. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, speaking of Wegmans, one thing that we've realized, if you were to buy Tide and you buy it in the large plastic container that you normally buy first because it's the best way to store them, and then if you go and you want to buy just the replacement pods to put in your existing container, to rebuy the container itself is cheaper than buying the pods separately in a very thin plastic bag. And I've never understood why Wegmans does that.
I don't know. It's a good question.
I don't have an answer, but I will say that the entire plastics industry and the packaging industry really is a big part of this problem.
Right. That's probably not a Wegmans only problem. It may be a pricing problem that Wegmans could address, but pricing is not always going to drive these decisions, unfortunately, as we've covered, right? Like a lot of times you may need to pay extra to avoid packaging, and we hope that that creates demand that then drives down costs, but that's the state of affairs.
Okay. You want to add to that, Kimberly?
Just that, you know, you're always going to run into these issues with different products. And when you buy things that are more name brand that are established, it's a lot harder for them to change their model. So I would encourage you to go to Abundance Co-op and get reusable or like a bulk detergent.
All right. Keith, got to keep it tight. Go ahead, Keith.
Two comments and a quick question. One thing I've noticed that ends up constantly are pallets, wooden pallets. They're almost impossible to recycle, sadly. I recently just came back from out of town. I was in a hotel that got rid of the individual shampoos and conditioners, and they go for a larger container attached to the shower wall that they refill. But with the pending problem of too much waste that can't be recycled or that decompose, why isn't there an asserted effort to minimize some of the packing material so we can use it. Now, I know you're going to say because of cost, but we're going to either have to pay now or pay later. So I think it would be cheaper to relook at packaging material now than later.
That's an interesting point. Some thoughts there?
Policy change. That's the highest poll in the total poll, or whatever that saying is. It really starts from the government and making sure that there are a lot of the plastic bag ban is the first major step for New York State to really enforce policy for this.
Okay.
I also think that a lot of businesses, you'll see, even large businesses, they really like the feel-good ad campaigns. That's becoming a thing, right? You know, they want to be on the side of seeming like they're a sustainable, warm, fuzzy company. So if you can make that argument as the consumer of, I really dislike that you are offering me only plastic, and then they give you a choice, you know, make sure that you get that out there and let them get that out there so that it encourages them to do that the next time.
Okay. Kimberly?
I want to add in that we do have quite a few artists at Greenovation that upcycle pallets. We have one called Reclaimed Furniture and Decor. So they are actually really happy that people throw out their pallets because it keeps their price margin down, and then they can create furniture at a lower cost for people out of these pallets. But yeah, it is definitely a problem. They generally just throw out the pallets because they can't reuse them. It costs too much to ship them back.
Real quick here, one more time. Rochester Greenovation is located where?
1199 East Main Street.
That's where you're going to find it. Greenovation on Facebook if you want to learn more about what Kimberly and the volunteers are doing there.
Can I add in one more thing?
Yeah.
You can buy reusable mason jars and things at Greenovation. If you don't have the money to buy anything new, come and buy used with us.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Rachel Gutnick, where can people find you and Just Terrific?
I'm online at justterrific.com.
Justterrific.com. Thanks for being back here.
Thanks, Evan.
Great to have you. And Marielle Jensen Battaglia, I told you wouldn't regret coming here.
I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me, Evan.
Thank you very much. And I certainly look forward to future conversations. Hey, as we go to break here, more connections coming up. Can't say thanks enough to Rah Rah Riot and Barsook Records. And they are local-ish Geneva connections, Syracuse University connections, and every day you hear the song called Shadow Casting. Thanks to them. More connections coming up.